Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia Farquharson. Delia is a licensed social worker and experienced life coach, dedicated to helping you achieve your goals and become your better self. She specializes in helping others identify the connections between your thoughts, feelings, and actions. Welcome, Delia.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Discussions with Delia. This conversation, I think, is long overdue. It's been a couple weeks since the issue of spousal abuse has taken center stage in our society, and so I think it's a good time for us to enter the conversation. But before we start on that wonderful conversation, let me say good evening to my awesome husband, Raymond. Hi, Raymond.
Hi, Delia.
So today's Joshua's birthday, so we have to mark that in time as well. Joshua turns 3 today.
Happy birthday, Joshy.
And so the conversation this evening is about the question that we pose is, should the sports leagues, the professional sports leagues, put as much focus on the mental health of their players as they do the physical health of their players? What say you?
Well, maybe it could be Monday morning quarterbacking of saying, is this something that was always being discussed? And you know, non-sports fans who now have reason to chime in because of spousal abuse, physical abuse, child endangerment, and all these other things that have come to light that have brought the NFL to the world, even those who had no interest in the NFL before. So were we as concerned before this happened?
Well, some people were. Right?
Probably.
So you will know this name. The name is Royce White.
Not really. Who's Royce White?
First round draft pick
In
the NBA for the Houston Rockets last year.
Never heard of him. Sorry.
So he apparently came out quite forcefully last year and criticized the NBA for how they handled mental health issues. And so led this the Associated Press to take a look at how the sports leagues, how their policies support this issue of mental health. So we'll look first at the NBA. And it was in 1993 that the NBA's Players Association established a program to assist players with a wide spectrum of off-the-court situations and challenges. It included a player assistance program that provides assistance and treatment of mental health and behavioral issues. And back then, it was David Stern that said that the league had been helping players with mental health issues for decades, and they were addressed through the players' health programs. There was nothing specific until 1993 that dealt with mental health, right?
Okay.
So that's the NBA. In Major League Baseball, back to 1981, the commissioner then, Bowie Kuhn, introduced EAP, which most people who work in the corporate world is familiar with the EAPs, Employment Assistance Program. So the Major League introduced that, right? EAPs, as we know, provide evaluation and counseling and, you know, help people with mental health issues. In 2009, the Major League Baseball distributed a memo to every club outlining new disabled list of criteria for emotional disorders, and 5 players in that year, in 2009, went out on the DL for mental health issues. Right after it was...
Major League Baseball.
Major League Baseball. The NFL, it was Junior Sow's suicide, and the
I'm sorry, Doug. Junior Seau.
sale.
Thank you.
And, you know, there was a lot of lawsuits related to the traumatic brain injuries.
Right.
So then the NFL last year, or it was 2012, we unveiled a total wellness program to help current and former players. And it includes confidential mental health hotline with free consultation about the signs of crisis, symptoms of mental health problems, and where to go for help.
Mm-hmm.
And it involves suicide prevention and substance abuse.
Right.
NHL, mm-hmm. in 1986, the union implemented a substance abuse and behavioral health program that offers assistance and resources tailored to the individual player's circumstances. And the commission in 2011, they said they would review the program in 2011 because three players were found dead, two from suicide and one from an accidental drug and alcohol overdose. So that's kind of where the leagues sit,
mm-hmm.
or have sat. And, you know, and right now we're kind of like in a lot of, there's a lot of movement in
mm-hmm.
this mental health issue. But the question, I think, is a fair one,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, yeah, there's a lot of focus put on keeping these players in tip-top physical conditions.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of conditioning coaches and therapists and all kinds of things designed, all kind of support services and support personnel designed to help them, keep these bodies ready for action, ready for play.
Mm-hmm.
Should there be as much emphasis put on mental health? Because clearly with all the, you know, all these things that have happened,
mm-hmm.
it's clear that there's a need for it, I think.
Well, I agree, and I don't think, as you said, with any organization, EAPs are there, and it is confidential, and it's been used with no further knowledge of anyone knowing, you know, how that person is maybe taking advantage of the EAPs. However, the thing with sports is that your physical abilities, yes, coupled with, because if you're not mentally there, then your physical abilities are not, they're not being maximized if you're not mentally there. So that's what people come to see. You know, they're there to see you play. They're there to see you participate. They're there to see your physical strength and prowess and so on. So you talk about this all the time, that, you know, this stigma, this, you know, that's associated
yeah.
with mental illness.
Yes.
To say, listen, before a game on football, every week, I don't remember what day, every team has to post all their injuries. Okay? And they have to say, you know, probably won't, whatever, on disabled list, so on and so forth. And they tell you elbow, knee, shoulder, pectoral muscle, and so on. So now, the next time your name go up there, what are they going to put? Mental? So, you know, the stigma and all that attached to that,
mm.
and not knowing how to deal with it. And one might say, well, okay, you abuse your wife. You abuse your family.
So what do they put up for him, for Ray Rice?
He's banned, or he's, you know, suspended for the year.
Okay.
So he's not on any, not expected to play. It's known, you know. So when you're suspended, it just comes up as suspended. But if you're not playing this week, they have to say, you know, you're injured, and somewhat state your injury.
Okay.
You know, so I think it's a learning process for the leadership of the NBA, of the NFL specifically here, and all of these sports. It's money. The owners, the commissioners, the players themselves, it translates into money. The more they play, the better they play, the better they get paid.
Hmm.
And that's what it is. And so therefore, to say, well, you know, oh, we're not going to sign this fellow because he gets hurt all the time. His knees are always hurt. His elbow is, he's talented and so on, but he's not worth a 3-year contract.
So you're saying
he's mentally ill, so therefore he's damaged.
Which is the gentleman that I told you before, Ray Royce White. that was kind of his problem. The NBA, he said, wanted him gone because he suffered from an anxiety disorder and had a terrible fear. I think we remember hearing about him, a fear of flying.
Yes.
So as soon as he was signed,
yes,
he went, you know, he took like time off from the league or something because they didn't know how to deal with him. And I think the first thing they wanted to do was to just have him gone. So I think the stigma is a big thing.
Of course.
But I think that taking a strong position on that is would go such a far way in reducing the stigma that's associated with mental illness, because that's one of the things that we're fighting right now.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm sorry to interrupt, but you asked me who this fellow is. Tell me again.
Royce White.
All right, I have no idea who he is. If you told me tomorrow LeBron James come down with a
Ally Bank really has no hidden fees
with a condition of the
year right
that says he no longer has this disability,
you,
where he's
okay,
his fear of flying and therefore all of the above, then it's a different conversation. You know, I think all of a sudden the best and the brightest and the resources will be found. And, you know, and whoever falls into that category will benefit by the fact that, you know, LeBron or Kobe Bryant or you name it has that condition. So it's reactionary. And I think
it's not going to start.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to start with a big star. Because they
Junior Seau started. I mean, listen, people have been damaged and getting hit in the head and having mental illness and committing suicide for years. And Junior Seau, along with, I don't remember, Juicy or whatever his name from Chicago Bears and a bunch of them. And then there was a lawsuit that kind of just, and then the NFL settled the lawsuit for billions of dollars, which is peanuts compared to what they could have been actually be asked to pay if it went to court. So it is money. They want these guys on the field. And when they're young and they're strong and they're physically able and they're not, listen, we just want you to play and we want you to play at your best. And as you said, the physical therapy is not in, there's not enough of that. There's not enough strength and conditioning, nutritionist, all these wonderful things so that you stay healthy because you are a product. You're a product. So therefore, we want that product to be the best and the shining. No, your personal life that says, listen, you're so bottled up and being so enraged at work and you're optimizing your physical ability. You come home, any little thing can just push you off and you don't know how to deal with that because you're still a 23-year-old young man who really never really grew up, because since you were 14 or 15, they told you how great you were and everyone catered to your needs and made sure you got through whatever you needed to get through. You had no difficulties in life. Here you have a nice little young lady. She's beautiful and so on and so forth. She's a wonderful mother of your children, and she is not playing her role and she's not telling you what you want to hear. How do you deal with that?
Right. So then we go back to that it may be a developmental issue, right, for some of these children, that sports was seen as a means of escape or a means of, escape, I'll use that word.
Mm-hmm.
And so there may have been other circumstances, other environmental factors that impacted the development of these individuals or some of these individuals that was not addressed,
mm-hmm,
and that was not addressed appropriately.
Yes.
And then, on top of that, then you put, you know, all this fame and this money and this power,
mm-hmm,
into someone who's not emotionally developed enough,
mm-hmm,
or emotionally stable enough,
mm-hmm,
to handle that,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Without addressing it at all, right? You know, we have to say
mm-hmm
that there are many dozens of players in the league that we never hear about, who are well-adjusted,
mm-hmm,
doing well,
mm-hmm,
good people in their families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the unfortunate thing is that what this incident with Ray Rice has done,
mm-hmm,
and the incident with the other gentleman who beat his son,
mm-hmm,
is brought
Adrian
this issue,
Peterson.
Adrian Peterson, is
mm-hmm,
it has brought it to the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
It has forced our community and our society to take a hard look at these issues, right? And domestic violence is a serious, serious matter that needs to be handled. And we shouldn't give a pass to someone just because,
mm-hmm,
they have excellent athletic skills and
mm-hmm
them have lots of money. So I think what is being revealed in the Ray Rice situation,
mm-hmm,
is perhaps how the league has chosen, the sports leagues, because it's not just the NFL. Uh-huh. Sports leagues may have chosen to turn a blind eye to some of these things. Hope Solo, is that her name, the
uh-huh.
soccer player?
Uh-huh.
That's the same thing that came up today, that she was involved in a similar incident where she, you know, she was domestic violence. She was charged and arrested. But she's allowed to play.
She inflicted pain?
Yeah, she scratched her sister. She beat up her nephew. Just a lot of things happened in her family.
Oh, okay.
And she's contending that it was self-defense. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm sure that Ray Rice could not contend that it was self-defense.
But you know what? And maybe because I don't fully understand it. But let's take their what they do for a living out of this. They go to work. If they were self-employed, if they were a janitor, a mechanic, has a garage. If Ray Rice owned a garage and that was what he did for a living, and he did exactly what he did to his then-girlfriend, now wife, what would have been different?
You know what? He would have gotten arrested, right?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody...
Based on what? Because all you saw was the initial video. I mean, if his wife or his girlfriend... Where I'm going with this.
Okay, so if she hadn't reported it or called the police...
It never happened,
it
right? As it does, as I don't know the numbers, but I'm sure there's a significant percentage of women who are abused, and it's underreported. I'm sure it's grossly underreported, I would guess. Like, a lot of people get abused, and they don't report it because of fear.
Fear,
and they
right,
stay
absolutely.
And that's a whole other dynamic that I don't know enough or anything about to even dive into. But, you know, and that's painful, I'm sure, for families and women and even husbands and children. But the league, what responsibility does a Ray Rice have in this? What responsibility does a Adrian Peterson have in this? And all the other athletes who they happen to play football for a living, but it's not who they are. They are
okay.
husbands and fathers and so on. And abused their loved ones.
Yeah.
And the fact is, they have responsibility.
Right,
so
they do, Raymond. And I totally agree with that, and I get your point. But I think also that you just said it. They are a commodity. They're a commodity that's being marketed and promoted by others. And the fact that there are others making tons of money off of these, that the responsibility is a shared one.
And I'm sorry, again, it's a sports thing, so I kind of get my things up thing. But if you're asking the people who benefit most, because the league is a bunch of billionaires, owners, millionaires, players, right? So therefore, you're asking the billionaires who benefit even more than the players to be the gatekeepers.
Yes.
And that won't work.
But see, that's why the public outcry is creating such unease.
On both sides.
Yes. It's creating,
for the players and the owners.
Right. It's creating such unease because now it's being exposed that perhaps people have been turning a blind eye and perhaps people have been, you know, have been less than moral, you know, all in the name of let's play, let's make money, let's just keep it rolling, even though a woman is brutally beaten, right? And a child is terribly abused. But we're saying, let's play anyway, right? So I think that the public outcry, the public entering the foray, is acting almost like a conscience for this situation, because it's saying no, you know, we won't allow this to just be ignored.
Mm-hmm.
We won't allow for this to just be treated the way it has always been, because the fact is, what I read in the beginning was how late they have been to the game in addressing these issues of mental health. And it's mental health on a broad scale, because it's not just about abuse. Because at the end of the day, for someone to hit someone the way Ray Rice hit his wife, and to act so nonchalant, and so, he, not only has he hit her before, but that's sick. It really requires attention for somebody because, you know...
But nobody is going to know that. No one was supposed to know that. That was something between a man and his wife or his girlfriend, and no one is supposed to know that. In the same way, and I've heard someone made the comparison, the other elevator fight that we have all witnessed with Jay-Z and his, you know, and his approach, he put his hand behind his back, Now, there's a bodyguard there, and his wife is there, and this is his sister-in-law, I guess.
So is that abuse?
Right. So on whose part?
On the sister's part towards Jay-Z.
Well, I don't know, but I wouldn't even go down that road. But I'm just saying, you know, you could say, well, similar situation, the man acted
appropriately,
and a better outcome where he did not violate her, right? But this is a man and his girlfriend. This is a man and his wife, mother of his child or children. I don't know,
child.
And you know, so this wasn't no company. No one else is there. This is in their, for want of a better word, this is with them in their bedroom. So in their own privacy. So how Wainwright treats his significant other is his responsibility. For him to come out and say, listen, NFL league, I need help. Or he goes to his team to the Ravens.
But that's what I'm saying. Though he does not realize that he needs help, but he does.
Right.
And there are others on the outside. There are people. There are doctors. There are, you know, we clearly, they said they have some mental health arm, some mental health component.
Sure.
To the
league. But he might not see that as mental health.
Right. And there are people who we're going to say they're responsible for this league. They're responsible for a lot of things. And responsibility would beg the question that you would look at that and say, no, that is not normal, no matter who you are, no matter how callous you
but
are.
But they don't that know it's happening, though. What if they don't know?
Okay, but they did. The fact is that they did, right? They saw it, they knew about it, the video, and they chose not to act until it was exposed. The action that Commissioner Goodell took was to say 2-game suspension.
Hmm.
And if nobody had seen the videotape, it would have been a 2-game suspension for something as horrific as what he did.
So hold up now. So what if Goodell had said, and this is what he does, 2-game suspension, and you have to go to therapy, and you have to conform to our policy that says you need help individually and as a family for the next, till somebody says get out of
here. It's not for him to decide that. Okay. What I'm saying is that...
But the system needs to be in place to facilitate and create the opportunity for them to take advantage of it.
And to recognize, right? So to recognize, what I'm saying is that I'm not saying that Goodell should have looked at that. He could look at that and see that that was a horrific situation that clearly needs to be addressed. How to address it? Maybe that's not his forte, right? So he needs to get the appropriate support system. Billionaires as they are, they can pay for that. To say, what is the best way? And not just make the decision unilaterally to say, let's slap him on the wrist and send him back on the field. No, to get people into the room to say, including women, where are the women in the NBA and the NFL? Where are the women? Because no woman would look at that and say, slap him on the wrist, give him 2-game suspension and send him back in the game.
The teams are owned by men.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So clearly
the commissioner works for the owners.
So clearly we need other people in the conversation.
And if one good thing is coming out of this, that's what's been happening. So for the NFL to say, we have had policies in place for, you know, for people to go, and they're talking about, they're not looking at the whole person. You know, if, you know, you're having, I don't know, mental, you know, what people would call your traditional mental illness, not the one that says you beat your wife and you abuse your children and so on. If you're schizophrenic or whatever would be considered traditional.
Anxiety or depression.
Exactly. So therefore, it's obvious that you're not performing at your best then. All right, there's a program, you go see this psychiatrist. Here are the panels of psychiatrists. You want to see someone near your house and you live in California but you work for New York? Go there. I'm sure they could show those things if someone says, what do you have in place? Here are the whole panel of psychiatrists, social workers, psychologists around the country that we have subscribed to for our players to take full advantage of. Now, if someone beats his wife, beats his children, or behaves in an inappropriate way, and so on and so forth, in that physical violent way, what do you have in place? And, well, we need the legal system. And this is what they come back to. We need the legal system to lead the way, because that is what determines what we do next. Because if someone is having a mental breakdown, you know, you're going to send him for mental health. If he's beating his wife, how do I know he's having it? It's not my judgment.
He abused his wife. The legal system, she needs to raise her hand, I guess, call the cops, he gets arrested, and then the next thing goes in place. But if he doesn't get arrested, she doesn't raise her hand, for whatever reason, because she's scared of her and him, and because she wants... Goodell did a lousy thing. I know I'm doing choppy thing here, but he did a lousy thing when he said he invited Ray and his wife to come in and meet with him. What does he think the wife is going to say?
Well, the thing about
it's
so it, right?
Therefore, he's not knowledgeable
but,
enough
and that's
to
why
do that.
I'm saying, and that's why I'm saying he clearly was not,
no.
He was not equipped to kind of handle the situation and needs greater support in handling these things. But I just found an article that was written in 2012 about it. And the article was written in the New York Times. It says, "When no one is looking, a hurt stays hidden," written by William Roden. And he says, you know, as part of the article, he says, "Mental health is a stigma that is tied into weakness and is absolutely the antithesis of what athletes want to portray." And that's true. That's a big part of it, right?
Sure.
You're
6'9", 305 pounds, and you cry, you can't get on an elevator, you cry for whatever. Who wants that?
Yeah. And so, you know, I think trust is a big issue because even in going to a therapist,
right.
I think this, the athletes may feel a little exposed, a little vulnerable.
You're going
to
tell the owner.
Right, yeah. And so you know, clearly the system needs to, there needs to be established a system where athletes can feel like they can, like everybody else, they can seek out mental health. But the stigma is a big part of it. And I think the conversation about stigma is one that needs to be addressed at that level, at the major league level.
I think you're right. And I think athletes as people need to have multiple options to access mental health care. It cannot just be the standard brick and mortar. It cannot just be walk into a doctor. You know, somebody see LeBron James or see any athlete walking into a building and it says, you know, whatever mental health clinic or psychiatric, you know, psychologist, psychiatrist, you're not going to go. So I'm sure they have physical physicians and so on come to their homes and administer medication and work with them and so on. They need to now look at different ways to allow and confidentially.
Right.
And in a trusting, you know, in a trustworthy way, because you're going to say, well, how are you going to tell the coach what's wrong with me?
Right. I think, and make them seem vulnerable. I think the thing about it is that is most encouraging about this whole situation is that this conversation is being had, and it's a sustained conversation. It's not just one. It hasn't just blown out, you know, and moved on. I think it's a sustained conversation, and I hope that it really will, make steps towards reducing the stigma that it, and so that, you know, professional athletes like everybody else in the community will move towards reducing that stigma or feeling that stigma be subject.
I know, but one of the sad things is it stays in our consciousness. But one of the sad things and the reason why it still does is because there's always a new one. You know,
yeah.
Ray Rice occurs. You know, Adrian Peterson occurred, the fellow out in the 49ers, the fellow down in Carolina.
Yes, so there's always another.
There's always, and imagine before, and imagine how many more that we don't know.
Right.
And they're similar.
You know, the thing about it is I think that the conversation, and I think their mental health professionals and sports enthusiasts, everybody needs to focus on promoting that.
I
so,
agree.
You know.
And I think this helps the wives as well.
Yeah. So, you know, until next time, you know, this we can only pray for the reduction of stigma in mental health. So we'll keep working on that. Till next time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Discussions with Delia. Check us out on the web at discussionswithdelia.com and like our Facebook page, Discussions with Delia. Please follow me on Twitter at Discussion Delia. Thank you again for listening. Peace and blessings.